Today's passage comes from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16. I'm going to be starting in verse 9 here in a minute, reading down through verse 15. This is part of Paul's spiritual journeys, his missionary journeys, as he journeys out and brings the gospel to folks. As I read this, I want you to notice that there are three parts to this passage. There are three parts to this passage. Pay attention to what those parts are. Starting in verse 9. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, he got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace. And the next day, we went on to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of the district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who were gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. I don't know what you believe about visions and dreams. About 3 weeks ago or so, I woke up to a dream that was just full of details. Over and above and beyond. And while I was in this dream, I was supposed to be making mental notes for all the details that I found. And then I was supposed to be taking those mental notes in this dream, and I was supposed to be connecting them all together to see how they fit together and how those things came out. Wish I could tell you I figured it out, but I didn't. But it was quite an impactful dream that still seems, even to me a weeks later, very vivid, very powerful, very instrumental, I think, in some of the things that God's been trying to talk to me about. You see, I do believe that God can speak in dreams. Now, let me qualify that. Not every dream you have is communication from God. Okay? Because don't come to me and ask me about an incredibly bizarre dream, and I think this is what God's trying to tell me. During part of my spiritual director school that I went to, we did spend some time talking about dreams and how they can be used by God and what some of the symbols and the images might mean and some of the things that go on in them and how it connects to our lives. I still go and reference those books sometimes because I do believe that God still speaks that way. We see that through many scripture passages. Many. And this is one of those. Because what happens for Paul is God speaks to Paul in a night vision, the way the scripture says this, or a dream, okay? Sometimes we have visions that during the day, and we call those what? Daydreams. Okay? I still believe that God speaks this way. And God spoke very clearly to Paul. I can only imagine what this was like to wake up to with this image of this man in Macedonia calling out, saying, "Come help us. Come help us." Now, right before this passage where I started, Paul had been trying to go in another direction, and doors weren't open to go in that other direction. Things weren't working out for that to happen. And this is when he has that dream that shows him where the direction is that God wants him to go at this point in time. Now, the second thing that happened is that the vision is shared, and the community discerns that this is God's leading. Paul gets up that morning, I believe, and shares with his travel companions that are on this missionary journey and tells them, "I had a vision last night of a man standing in Macedonia calling out to us saying, 'Come help us. Come help us.'" And I wish sometimes that my dreams were that simple, because this one seems to be pretty simple. But what I see in reading this passage is that Paul shares this dream with his travel companions. And I think they have a discussion. And Paul says, "What do you think?" And the consensus comes out of this whole thing: this is God's leading, God's calling to us to go to a new place to share the gospel. They get everything together to do that. I told you to look for three different divisions in this passage. The first division is that dream, is that communication, that vision from God, whatever you want to call it. Maybe Paul couldn't sleep that night and he had a vision. Maybe it was a dream. Maybe, who knows, but it's a communication from God. They discern that. And then the second part of this passage is what? They had to move from where they were to go where God wanted them to be. They couldn't stay in the same place and preach in Macedonia. It was not possible in their day to do that. They had to physically move from that place to the other. It requires sailing across the sea right there, the Mediterranean Sea, between where they were in Turkey, modern-day Turkey, and moving over to Greece. So they go out. They realize that God wants them to be involved with something, and they move to be involved with what God is doing. And then the third passage, the third part of this passage, is they go and they find where God wants them to be. Now, I want to read that piece for you again because it's full of facts. So starting in verse 13 down through verse 15. "On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gates to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and we began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer of purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. 'If you consider me a believer in the Lord,' she said, 'come and stay at my house.' And she persuaded us." So we had this clear communication from God, this moving of from one country to another to join God. And then what they do on the Sabbath is it says that Paul and his group find a place of prayer where God is working. You see, God's already working in some people's hearts because there was established by the river a place of prayer. Not in a synagogue, not in any other temple or building, but a place of prayer by the river. And they go there to meet with the women that are there, that have gathered to spend some time in prayer. One of those ladies, it says, is a lady by the name of Lydia from the city of Thyatira. Says she's a dealer in purple cloth. And for those of you that don't know, that would have meant she was extremely wealthy. Purple dye was the hardest dye to get a hold of in their day and age. And it only came from these snails, the shells of a snail. So you had to go out and collect it up. You had to crush it up. You had to make it into a dye. Very expensive, and it took a lot of snails to make one cloth. So it's a big endeavor. So the women that are there by the river probably are from all walks of life, but we have this one woman who is a business person, who is wealthy, who has a home, and that home becomes pretty important to the people in Philippi. It really does. It becomes important to Paul and Silas because the next passage, they're put in prison for preaching the gospel. When they get out of prison, guess whose house they go to recuperate? Lydia's house. At the end of chapter 16, you'll see her again. They go there to recuperate before they move on in their journeys. But you see, Paul and his group go and find this place of prayer. I sat with this passage one afternoon this week, just looking at it and looking at it and looking at it. And you know something I saw that is not worded there, but I really think this is how it happened. I really do. Paul is off in another country, and he receives this vision of, please come to Macedonia and help us. What do you think these people are doing by the river? What does it say? They're praying. Do you think their prayers had anything to do with the communication that was given to Paul? They were praying, saying, we need help. We want to grow. We need to know about this more. We need to understand it more. And guess what God's doing over here? He's speaking to Paul about, you need to go over there. Their prayers had an effect on Paul before they ever knew Paul. That's what I believe. They were praying, we need help, we want to know more, we need to gather more, we need to understand more, we wish we had somebody to help us. Lord, send us. And the Lord's over here doing what? Paul, you need to go over there. And for Paul to join God in what God was already doing, God's already doing something here. Paul didn't start a new work. God started the new work. And God called Paul into the midst of the work that had already started among these people that were gathering by the river to pray. Now, to me, that should help us open our eyes some. Where is God already working around us? Where are people praying, I need somebody to help me? And are we over here listening for what God's saying? Are we looking at the dreams and visions that we have? Are we looking at the gut feelings that come to us, the intuition, the you know what? I feel a little nudge about something. And I can't let go of it until I research this nudge some. I'm still thinking about my dream. Haven't gotten any more pieces to it. But I'm still thinking about all the details that were in that dream and all that I was supposed to be paying attention to and keeping note of and putting it all together in pieces here and there. And I woke up going, I cannot remember all these details. I'm wondering if it has anything to do with how God's trying to communicate with me. Pay attention to the details you see in your life. Pay attention to the details you see in other people's lives. Pay attention to what's happening and what's going on around you, because I'm already at work. And you need to move to that place. You need to change where you are and move to that place. Now, I know this place well. This place is what all of us like to call what? This is my comfort zone. I feel comfortable here, and I'm okay here, and as long as nobody upsets the apple cart, I'll be happy the whole rest of my life. Well, maybe God's already about upsetting the apple cart and already about saying something to you about where you need to be to join God in a work that's already going on. Does it make sense? Maybe God's opening some ways. Maybe God's showing you some things that you didn't ever consider before. Remember what I said? Paul was trying to go this direction. And in his dream, God said, go this direction. The opposite way that Paul was trying to go. I can hear Paul, though, praying, can't you? I can hear Paul praying, saying, God, the people over there need the gospel. The people in this direction need the gospel and they need to understand it. Will you open ways and avenues that we can go in that direction and we can share in that direction to bring them the gospel? And God says, nope, over here, Paul. Could you imagine what it was like to come to this place? The place that Paul wasn't trying to get to, and find a group of people that had been praying for God's help. Because what did it say about Lydia? She was a God worshiper, but yet she didn't know. Her heart was crying out to come closer to God. She was trying to understand how to come closer to God. She's probably one of the main ones that's praying, Lord, send me some help. Send me some help. And what does it say? The Lord opened her heart to respond to God's message. And this thought just came to me, and maybe I need to go back and look at this passage some more this week. How many times did somebody's heart become open to do what God was asking? And why would it need to be declared that way? Well, because sometimes I got my own ideas on what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm not listening. And I'm not paying attention to what God's asking. And I'm not wanting, comfort zone. Jerry, you got a lazy boy, don't you? Jerry, in case you guys don't know, Jerry's lazy boy is called the Word. If you ever invite him somewhere and he says, nope, I got to go home to be in the Word. Very comfortable. I just blew your cover, brother. We all got that comfortable place, don't we? I've got a lazy boy that I have tried to replace a couple of times. And I keep going right back to it and getting rid of what I tried to replace it with. Because one of them's at Zach's house now. Zach came over one night and he sat in the Lazy Boy we had in the living room. He said, "This fits me. It's comfortable. It's great." I said, "Take it. It's yours." Because it never worked for me. And it almost never got set in. So Brother Zach there got him a brand new Lazy Boy. Just by saying that he likes sitting in my Lazy Boy. Huh? Yeah, I spoiled him. I got in trouble with the rest of his family because nobody else is allowed to sit in that chair, I don't think. You see, I've got this Lazy Boy that's comfortable. I've had it for probably 35 years. And it's wore out. It doesn't look the best. But it's my comfort zone. It's where I want to be. But have you considered that somehow God might be communicating to you it's time to get out of your comfort zone? No, I'm not selling my old Lazy Boy because nobody will buy it. And no, I'm not giving it away because not only is it my favorite chair, it's the cat's favorite chair. It's so important to the cat, I'm not allowed to sit in it in the afternoon. That's when it's the cat's chair. It's her comfort zone. But have you considered that maybe God's crying out, saying something? You see, Paul shared a message and Lydia responded. It says she was only a God worshiper. And she came to know Jesus Christ that day. And not only did she come to know Jesus Christ, but it says her whole family did. And they were all baptized. And then Lydia looks at Paul and says, "If you consider me a believer, will you come and stay at my house?" How could Paul say no? How could Paul say no? And I bet she was a wonderful hostess. I bet she was. Because like I said, at the end of chapter 16, after being in jail all night, which I hope that sometime you will read the rest of this chapter, because that would have been an interesting night in jail. Because it says they were singing hymns all night. I can imagine some of the other prisoners going, "Will you guys stop?" And then an earthquake happens and they don't leave the jail when all the doors open. Okay, I'm going to leave you there. I'm not telling you to rest. You go home and read the rest of what happens. And that all started over here with Paul's dream. It all started over here. But God was already doing something here. And Paul and his crew had to move to be part of what God was doing. Now, sometimes the move is just out of our comfort zone. And sometimes the move is greatly somewhere else. But I'm asking you, are you paying attention to what God's doing? You see, we could follow Paul's journey to help us discern God's will. We could follow what happened to Paul. That even though he was trying to go this way to help people that needed help, God said, "No, I need you to go this way. Because this is where I've already prepared some hearts so that they can respond. They just need to hear somebody talk about it. That's all they need to hear." And Paul comes to this place, and him and Silas and the rest of their crew talk about what God's doing in their life and what happens there. A church is started there in Philippi. That's what happens. Where there wasn't one. And by the way, in the first century, there was no such thing as church buildings. It's not the building that's the church. It's the people. And in this case, it was a church that met outdoors where everybody could watch, right outside the city gate, where everybody could see what was going on. God had already been working and called Paul to be here, called Silas to be here. Because they came, many people got saved, a church was started, and they got to spend a night in jail singing hymns. Can't you wait to go somewhere and spend the night in jail singing hymns? I don't see anybody signing up. But what happens if we consider what God's saying to us? And that's what I've been trying to lead us through in our Sunday morning times and our Wednesday evening times. Discerning God's will for our community, for our group of believers. What is God saying? I need to hear your voice. I need to hear what God's saying to you. The rest of this church needs to hear what God's saying to you, so that we can piece together and find out where God's already involved so we can be part of it. It's that simple. God's already doing it. And God's just asking us to be part of what God's doing. And I fully believe, as we've talked about in our Sunday morning times, our Wednesday evening times after supper, I fully believe it's outside the walls of the church. It's somewhere that's not inside these walls right now. Because for some people, it's uncomfortable to come inside the walls of a church. And sometimes we have to go where they are and meet them and establish relationships with them and share with them the story of Jesus Christ, so that their hearts can respond. What kind of dreams do we have right now that God's giving us? What kind of messages are coming from scriptures? What kind of intuition keeps bubbling up as though, I keep feeling this nudge. I don't know what this nudge is about. By the way, a nudge got me here as your pastor. That's where it all started, a nudge. What is God saying? What are the dreams that are happening for us? Where is God already working? Because if we can find where God's already working and just join God, we cannot fail. That's what I believe. Could Paul and Silas have gone there and failed? I don't think so. I think God had already prepared Lydia's heart and other women's hearts there in that prayer meeting. So I'm going to leave you with this question from this message. Are we listening and looking for where to join God's work? Not are we designing a work that we hope God will bless, or that God will like because we did it. Are we listening and looking for where to join God's work? I need to hear how God's speaking to you. And that's what Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings are part of. If you haven't been attending, I'm going to encourage you to attend one. Speak about what God's saying to you, so we can put that together to find out what all this is about, so we know where to go and we know where to reach. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you acknowledging that you are already at work somewhere, that you're already reaching out to people's hearts, that you're already transforming them, changing them, and somehow, some way, all we need to do is come and just interact with them. We need to move from where we are to interact with them, to be part of what's happening for them, to find out how you're speaking to them, and then all of a sudden, a work will blossom beyond belief. So, Lord, help us that whatever message you're sending us, we might hear, and that we might have the willingness to say, I'm only going to do God's will. And if that means I've got to get out of my comfort zone to do it, so be it. Because it might bring about an incredible thing that God, you're already doing to grow and to expand the kingdom of God. Help us, Lord, please. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.